Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The people of God are to walk in the light and not hide in the darkness. Those who are of the day know that Christ is returning and live accordingly. Today, more admonitions to await the coming of Christ as watchful disciples. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn again to chapter 5 as we discern the difference between day people and night people.
And I'd like to give you four contrasts between night people and day people that arise out of this text. That's where we're going. Now notice, first of all, the first contrast is knowledge versus ignorance. You'll notice it says, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." By the way, do you notice how Paul in this passage uses we, they terminology? It's the light versus darkness terminology. It's the day people versus the night people. First of all, he says, the day will not overtake you like a thief, because the people, the night people, are going to be deluded when people say peace and safety. Now let's get the chronology here. You have the rapture of the church, and then you have a period of time in which the nations prepare themselves as according to the scriptural pattern. And during that time of preparation, you have a man by the name of Antichrist who arises. The Antichrist is going to be charismatic. He is going to be persuasive. He is going to be brilliant, and he is going to be satanically evil. He will guarantee Israel's security, and the world will believe him, and everybody's going to say peace and safety. Everybody's going to say, at last we have it. And it's during that period of time when there is this false sense of security that judgment will come. Now, even today, we can tell whether we are night people or day people by what we believe and how gullible we are. Night people believe in the big lie. The big lie, mentioned in 2 Thessalonians, is basically the deity of man. Night people believe that man is God. Night people fall for New Age teaching that tells us that we are essentially gods. It's the lie of Eden. You shall be like God. That we run our own lives according to our own schedules. We find our own truth. We find our own reality, and there is no God out there to whom we must answer, and we're totally on our own. If you believe that, I can assure you that from the standpoint of the Bible, you're a night person. You're not a day person. Because day people have a different way of viewing the world. And I thought about this. Why is it that we as Christians view the world differently? A lot of it has to do with our perception of ourselves and others. Night people think of themselves always as better than they are. Night people think to themselves, why should God ever judge me? What have I done that's so bad? Especially when they compare themselves with somebody else. So night people are always thinking about the innate goodness of man. And there is some goodness. We're actually a mixture of goodness and badness. But night people have a very naive view regarding human nature. They believe treaties. They don't understand the subtleties of human nature. We understand that we are desperate sinners, and we have stopped self-justification. If you're a light person, if you're a day person, you've stopped self-justification because you know we stand in the presence of God, and only Jesus is able to save us. That's what makes you a day person as opposed to a night person. Let's go on to a second contrast. The other contrast is surprise versus expectancy. You'll notice that Paul says in verse 4, "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, because you are all children of light." You see, what the world says when they think of the second coming of Jesus, they don't believe it. They don't look forward to it, and they don't think it's going to happen, because they believe in uniformitarianism. I haven't used that word in a long time, and I thought it would fit right here. Uniformitarianism is, as everything has been from the beginning, so it will continue to be forever and ever and ever. Where is the promise of his coming, they ask? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue on as they are. If you don't believe that Jesus is going to return to earth, I can assure you, you are a night person. Christians not only believe that Jesus is coming so that they won't be caught by surprise because they're expecting it, but they love his appearing. The Apostle Paul says that there is a special crown, in fact, symbolically speaking, given to those who love the appearing of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't really look forward to seeing Jesus, and you really fundamentally do not look forward to his return, and you just assume that he not come back, you're a night person. Day people have a love for Jesus that has been implanted in their hearts at their conversion, which makes them view all of these things differently. So that's the second contrast. Surprise versus expectancy. The next is soberness versus drunkenness. Notice it says, "For you are all the children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Verse 6, "So then let us not sleep as do others, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we put on the breastplate of love and faith and hope." So there you have it. You have drunkenness. Now, he's not talking about literal drunkenness, though that happens too, especially if you're a night person. But he's talking about a spiritual drunkenness that is totally, completely indifferent. I was first acquainted with alcoholism when I was in high school and Bible school. Because what we used to do, and I don't know whether or not this was wise, but I'm just telling you what we did. After church on Sunday evening in Canada, there was a man who had a PA system on his car, so we would drive to a bad part of town, sometimes referred to as Skid Row. I guess that's where people hit the skids. And that's where I learned to preach. We would have singing, we'd have a testimony, and then I suppose almost every other Sunday night, I preached for 10 minutes. In those days, 10 minutes was just a hair's breadth short of eternity. I mean, what do you say in 10 minutes, right? Nowadays, 10 minutes goes by so quickly that I can almost taste it, and I look at the clock and it's gone. That's how fast it is. But in those days, I used to preach, and then afterwards, we talked to people. And this was a place where there were lots of alcoholics. And I remember one man taking dollar bills that he had and just throwing them out on the street. And I began to see what it was like to be in a stupor. As you think of these dear people with their priorities totally rearranged and not knowing what is valuable and what isn't. That is really the spiritual indifference of night people that Paul is talking about here. They're trading important things for lesser things and virtually have no concern about the future. If you're here today and you have spent more time and more energy preparing for a trip to go to Europe, and you've bought a travel book and you've spent hours reading it, traveling where you're going to be, and you've given not an equal amount of time to where you're going to spend all of eternity, as found in the scriptures, may I say lovingly and candidly, you're a night person. You're not a day person. Day people live for eternity, not just for time. Here's a poem. My dad gave me $1 bill because I'm his smartest son, and I swapped it for two shiny quarters because two is more than one. And then I took the quarters and traded them to Lou for three dimes. I guess he didn't know that three is more than two. Just then along came old blind Bates, and just because he can't see, he gave me four nickels for my three dimes, and four is more than three. And I took the nickel to Hiram Combs down at the seed feed store, and the fool gave me five pennies for them, and five is more than four. And then I went and showed my dad, and he got red in the cheeks and closed his eyes and shook his head, too proud of me to speak. Night people have no sense of eternal value. They live for three things, the big three. They live for money, for sex, and for fame, and that's it. They have no concept of that which is truly valuable, constantly trading down rather than trading up. So Paul says that's the third contrast. There's another contrast. And for us, by the way, he says in verse 8, since we belong to the day, let us put on the breastplate of faith. That's a sermon in itself. Why the breastplate of faith? It's the place where the arrows come. Every time you choose to sin deliberately, it shows a lack of trust in God. Faith, or a lack of it, lies at the root of virtually all of our struggles, all of our joys, all of our sorrows, and all of our temptations. And when we fail, it's lack of faith. So we take on the breastplate of faith, of love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. The Bible gives us instruction as to how to live in the midst of any society. And it may not be easy, but thank God for His resources. I want to ask you a different question. Are you an angry person? It's possible that you are, but you don't admit it. Or maybe you were raised by some angry parents. Did you know that the Bible says that anger alone isn't sin? If we're angry at the right things, Jesus looked around in anger. But I have to tell you this. The Apostle Paul says that you should not go to bed angry because you would give the devil an opportunity, a foot in the door. And Satan uses anger to destroy people and destroy relationships. Well, all this is discussed in a book I've written entitled Managing Your Emotions, God's Good Gifts Gone Wrong. We want you to have this resource because we think it'll be of great benefit as you navigate your Christian life, and also you can share it with others. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours. Managing Your Emotions.
Today, Erwin Lutzer continued The Church is Watchful, the fifth in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time, more on the differences between day and night people. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.